away. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles.
This is Face Off, the hockey show with Mike Miller. Live from the loft at Tam O'Shanter on Toledo's sports leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Now to Zuboff, a wrist shot. Broder, the save. Oh, an acrobatic save by Broder.
Face Off, the hockey show features the Red Wings, Walleye, Falcons, and high school hockey each week on the longest running specialty sports talk show in the area.
10 seconds of the game. The Devils are storming around the net, and they score. Peter Sikora, 18 seconds in.
Face Off, the hockey show is brought to you by
Tam O'Shanter, the place for hockey in Northwest Ohio.
It still loose. Rebound, they score. Claude Lemieux on the backhand.
Now, let's go live to the lock at Tam O'Shanter. Here's 106.5 The Ticket's Mike Miller.
Face Off now in his 18th season, I think our 12th, right here at Savannah Tam O'Shanter. Got a good show lined up for you tonight. Matt Crandall will join us at 6:15. A district high school hockey tournament gets underway here tonight. Maumee taking on the Whitmer over in, that is the Buckeye Broadband rink that gets underway, I guess, between 6:15 and 6:30 tonight. Then at 6:35 tonight, after Matt and I talk about the high school tournament, Brian Smolinski. Of course, Toledoan, drafted in the first round by the Boston Bruins in the NHL, went on to play for, well, 8 NHL teams in his career. Also played in some international play, too, in the World Cup and some world championships. And, of course, we'll talk this a little bit today about this morning's 3-2 overtime loss to United States and Slovenia. Again, a lot of conjecture of who was going to go to the Olympics this year. Again, I find this, to be quite honest with you, more interesting than the National Hockey League players over the last couple of years. You're probably not going to be competitive, but, you know, there's a lurking story out there. What if you were? I think the real downside for this American team was basically they've been together for 5 days. 5 days, and Tony Granato, he had a decision to make here. And his decision, and he said, you know what, we did not watch a lot of film, and the general manager, Sean Burke, who I know said, listen, we're going to go for some of the young kids, college players, whether it be from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Boston College, Boston U, Bowling Green, Western Michigan, kind of, you know, maybe to just resemble a little bit the Miracle Team in 1980. They went the other way. They want experience. They have a lot of players at what most people feel is the second-best league on the planet. That is the KHL. That's where a lot of players that are borderline NHL guys, and instead of going to the American League, and I guess in baseball terms they call a triple-A player that has major league ability a 4A player. So really this is a United States team that's made up of a lot of 4A players, if you put it in the terms. A lot of players from the American League, the KHL, and mostly Europe. For players to make, well, not NHL money, but the best money outside of the NHL, is in the KHL. So a lot of U.S.-born players that are playing in those particular leagues, the KHL in particular, again, that's the league right now that the Datsyuk is playing in. Of course, in the Kovalchuk for the Russian team, who are the favorites. So I find it very, very interesting. This was an American team, really, that was very good for two periods today and basically just ran out of gas. And I thought it was pretty ironic that Mrazek, the former a Detroit Red Wing player, was the guy that scored the game winner against the United States. So they're just going to have to buckle up and get things going in the right direction with a more pro-style team for the United States than the college kids, guys coming in from professional leagues that weren't under NHL contract. Of course, the beef here basically was the money. And number two, I can tell you for a fact, a lot of general managers that are paying guys millions upon millions of dollars, those general managers, their jobs are on the line, somebody going over there and getting hurt. So, I mean, there were two or three points of interest here. They just said, hey, we're going to take a break. Listen, the Olympics started out as an amateur tournament anyways. I thought it had tremendous appeal, but, again, a stunning loss, no doubt about that, today for the United States. But if there's an excuse there, only together for 5 days. I'm very interested to see what Brian Smolinski's take is on this, a former NHL player. I'm going to tell you the first thing out of his mouth is probably going to be. The NHL players should be there. And you know what? I don't think you can argue that way either. But again, let's hear back-to-back, with maybe just a little pause in between, the United States, again, with Ralph Strangis doing the work, former radio and television voice of the Dallas Stars. USA takes a 1-0 lead. Here's the call.
Garrett Rohnow as the American center and score! Brian O'Neill scores the first goal of the 2018 Olympic Winter Games for Team USA. They're up 1-0 over Slovenia.
1-0, O'Neill gets it for the United States, and here they come again with their second goal of the night.
Gunderson lets Little play it. Little pivoting forward. Sanguinetti a shot, save, rebound, Greenway scores! Jordan Greenway makes it 2-0 USA as he popped in a rebound off Crochelle's pads, and it's 2-0.
2-0, the United States had things well in hand, but I will tell you, make no doubt about this, I watched the game, and he was great. I've told you before about my love for watching golf when it's over, you know, for the U.S. Open Championship. If you're up in the morning, not a lot to watch, but if there's live sports on like it was this morning, I thought it was great. Here's the tying goal for Slovenia in the third.
The Slovenian goaltender is on the bench at 6-on-5.
Picked up by Verlich. Verlich banks it out to Gregorz at the left point. Looks at Robar and then shoots it into the scrum in front. Rebound, score! Verlich pounded it home, and the game is tied at 2 with 1:37 to play.
And here's the winner in overtime. Jan Mrzak, the former Red Wing, gets the game winner for Slovenia.
Mrzak goes on top. Orbas, Tichar fell, but he gets up, takes the pass, moving in for a shot. Never got through Mrzak. A shot, he scores! The Slovenian captain ties it late and wins it in overtime. Slovenia caps the comeback with a 3-2 win over Team USA.
A stunning loss indeed. The United States is going to have to pick up their boots and go in the right direction. Canada, of course, in the same situation here, playing guys that are not NHL players. So we get Brian Smolinski's take on this at 6:35 tonight. Matt Crandall right around the corner. Let's talk some high school hockey. This is Face Off, the Hockey Show. And as always, everybody, visit our friends at TamoHockey.com as the Learn to Play program goes on right down below us. Wonderful tournament. A lot of kids out there having a lot of fun. Also, Learn to Skate 2017 and 18. There is another session in April. Questions, visit SylvaniaTamashanner.com for that as well. Learn to Play, again, next session for that starts in April the 4th. Visit TamoHockey.com. Also this, 2018 Buckeye Broadband Spring League here at SylvaniaTamashanner. That's getting ready to crank up as well. TamoHockey.com for all the information there. All right, everybody, back with Matt Crandall after this. This is Face Off, the Hockey House.
This is Face Off, the Hockey Show on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Face Off, the Hockey Show. Glad to have you on board. I mentioned the Learn to Play programs and also the Learn to Skate programs, all available. Spring League coming up. Visit TamoHockey.com. How about this one? They have Zamboni School coming up, of course, here at Sylvania-Tamashanner. Next class is Saturday, April the 7th. Come on out and learn how to drive to Zamboni. Call Kathy Lavoie at right here at Tamashanner, 885-1167. Of course, that's area code 419, extension 305. First of three. Be a Zamboni driver. We have classes right here at Sylvania Tamashanner. Do a pretty good job. Ice looks in good shape now. And, of course, right next door, the district hockey tournament getting underway. And our go-to guy when it comes to high school hockey, of course, is Matt Crandall. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Very good. Thanks for taking the time. I guess I'm going to ask it this way before we get into the nuts and bolts. I mean, and you're covering this I guess for decades now, for crying out loud. What's the biggest upset you remember?
The biggest upset I remember is Finley over St. Francis. They were not only the number one seed in the Sylvania District, but they were the number one seed in the state of Ohio, and that was in 2011. And Finley came to Tamashanner and beat them in overtime. And that was a game that was heard all around the state, and with social media and the way things go now, it was heard quickly. And everyone thought that it was St. Francis's to win, and when they got knocked out, it was now everybody in the state thought they had a chance.
I'm guessing my old next door neighbor and former gold digger Brian Kinsella was probably the coach of that team. So yes,
he was. But the next year they did come back and they won their first state title the next year.
And of course,
they won their second in 2015. So St. Francis does have two state titles. They're recent ones, but that 2011 team was stacked and they didn't get the job done.
That's why, listen, look what happened this morning, and I get it, the NHL players aren't there, but Slovenia with an upset win over the United States. Hey, tonight, Baume and Whitmer go at it over in the rink number two. I just found that out, Matt, because I was going to go get a cold beer up here doing Face Off the Hockey Show, and of course, that is banned when that goes on with the high school team here. I got a little tradition. I get through the first 2 hours and have a cold one during Face Off the Hockey Show. The winner will play St. Francis, and I guess that leads when you talk about a perfect segue here. Any upsets in the making this year? St. Francis, again, the number one seed. They'll play the winner tonight of Maumee and Whitmer, which gets underway here shortly.
Well, this game tonight, speaking of that, if Whitmer could beat Maumee, even though it's a 10 versus 11 seed, that would be a little bit of upset because Maumee handled them 5-2 and 10-2 this year. But as far as anyone challenging St. Francis, I'm not sure, Mike. They're looking for their fourth trip in a row to Columbus, so they've clearly been the class of high school hockey in the Sylvania District. But I will say this. St. John's has played them very well this year. The last time Northview had them, it was a 3-0 game. But Bowling Green, maybe they're the wild card, because they've been to the district final and lost to St. Francis the last 2 years. They got a couple guys, Logan Bergeron and Blake Powers, some seniors who, if they can somehow carry the team on their back, maybe BG could make a statement. But as far as I see it right now, it's St. Francis's bracket here in Sylvania. It doesn't mean there's not some great games. And if you want to get out to Tambo and see some exciting games, Anthony Wayne versus Perrysburg tomorrow, in Southview versus Clay tomorrow. Those are going to be very exciting games.
And, of course, you have a son and a daughter, of course, Matt Crandall, playing for Sylvania Northview. Let me ask you this. If there's going to be an upset, I mean, I guess it's going to go right down to between the pipes, and a goaltender's going to have to steal one. Who's the best goaltender in the district?
Well, Cole Kessner is probably the best goaltender out there, but Jake Coward, the St. Francis goalie, has the best record, the best goals against. People would say he's not tested as often, but Jake Coward, I don't think he would steal the game. They would say that St. Francis, the team in front of him, probably won the game. If Cole Kessner could somehow get St. John's through the Sylvania District, I think people would say it was Cole Kessner that, you know, would get most of the credit. Now, Mason Snyder at Sylvania Northview has had an up-and-down season. Same thing with him. If he could carry Northview not only to the district final, but through the Sylvania District and down to Columbus, a lot of people would give Mason Snyder a lot of credit.
No, who's been the hottest of the bunch? I mean, listen, it's a long year. Over the last couple of weeks, who's seeing the puck and who's making the saves?
I would say Cole Kessner. Cole Kessner is playing very well. They lost a tight one to St. Francis last week, and he beat Northview. St. John's beat Northview 3-2. The week before that. So I would say St. John's, Cole Kessner. However, that being said, I do like the defense in front of Cole Kessner out there at St. John's. They've been struggling to find consistency offensively. So if they could find some offense for St. John's, help Cole Kessner out a little bit, I think he's the guy that's been hot, and he's been hot here at the right time of the season.
All right. The finals, of course, March the 2nd right here at Sylvania Tambushaner. It's the 10 seed Maumee against the 11 seed Whitmer. Then tomorrow, Anthony Wayne and Perrysburg, Southview and Clay. Then tomorrow as well, Sylvania Northview, Finley, St. Francis, and St. John's all get byes in this thing. Do you agree with the seeding order there? Anything you think that's out of line?
No, the only thing I would say is maybe St. John's had a case to be the second seed, maybe Northview down to the third. Other than that, I like the way that it shakes out. And I have to say, the first round is all very exciting games. There's only three of them. They're all very exciting. And when you're talking second round, the Northview-BG game stands out for sure. And the winner of the Southview-Clay game against St. John's, that's an interesting game. And Anthony Wayne played Finley earlier in the season, very tight. If they can get by Perrysburg, there's some interesting second-round games, too.
Oh, great stuff. Hey, Matt, is Matt Crandall joins us here in Face Off, the Hockey Show, in our 18th season, by the way. This year, 2017-18, you've been following this for a lot of years. Where would you rank this year's high school hockey as far as, you know, depth, energy, and skill?
Well, the depth is not there. It's been a problem. The Sylvania District only has 11 teams representing it right now. And compared to Columbus, they got 23 teams. The Brooklyn District has 23 teams. And Kent has 21 teams. We have about half the teams, Mike. That's a concern for me. That's for sure. But as far as quality goes, when you're talking about St. Francis, the number two ranked team in the state right now, and a team that, as I mentioned, has been to Columbus, they're looking for 3 years in a row, looking for four. They won it in 2015. So we have a team that is one of the best in the state, but unfortunately after that, it drops off a little bit. So I'm a little concerned about that, but St. Francis made it to the finals last year. It looks like they're going to make another run this year. They've represented the Northwest Conference well in the Sylvania bracket, but it's been a few years since we have a state title. So whoever gets down to Columbus this year, they got to get the job done.
Good stuff, Matt. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate you taking the time.
All right. Hopefully we'll check in after someone gets a state title.
No, we'll talk again maybe next week. I'll stay in touch. Thanks. Thanks again. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you later, Mike.
And that's Matt Crandall, really our go-to guy here, high school hockey. The game tonight, Maumee taking on Whitmer. Let's go back to the studios, a little sports update. Back at, 106.5, the studios. This is Face Off, the Hockey Show.
This is Face Off, the Hockey Show, with Mike Miller from the loft at Tam O'Shanter on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5, The Ticket.
All right, everybody, welcome. A quick note, everybody, as always, I want to remind everyone that the Learn to Play 2017 hockey program continues in April. That is Session 3. Visit TAMOHockey.com. Again, Matt Crandall joined us, our go-to guy when it comes to high school hockey here in the area. Whitmer taking on the Maumee tonight over in the Buckeye Broadband rink as well. Joining us now, Brian Smolinski, Toledo and former National Hockey League player. Played for eight teams in the NHL. No stranger to international play, World Cups and World Championships, and a member of the United States Hockey Hall of Fame. Hello, Brian. How are you?
How you doing, Mike?
What did you make out of the game this morning, the overtime loss of the United States to Slovenia?
Well, a little disappointed. You know, obviously we want all our teams to win. I think it was the fashion in which they did lose is probably... you know, the most disappointing, you know, they had a 2-0 lead, and I think a lot of hockey people will say that that's kind of the worst lead in hockey. It looked like they sat back with about, you know, 12 minutes to go in the game, and they allowed Slovenia, which, hey, don't get me wrong, they have a lot of high-end players, and they allowed them to kind of get back in the game. But, you know, kind of a feeling out process, I think, for the team, but obviously I know they wanted to win.
Well, Slovakia coming up, and if they're going to medal, it's almost a must-win in regulation for them. Let's talk about, listen, you've been on both sides of the fence. Now you're working for the National Hockey League, and they're learn to play. What do you think was the main crux behind the NHL players not playing in this year's Olympics at Pyeongchang? Injuries, money, lack of, I guess, revenue flowing in certain directions. What did you make out of this?
Well, I think the biggest issue might have been travel. Believe me, I know a lot of the players are definitely disappointed. They didn't get a chance to go, especially all the, you know, the players that probably would have been chosen, and especially the, you know, the players that are part of those respective countries. But, you know, I kind of see both sides of it where, you know, the NHL might just say, hey, let's just take a step back here a little bit. You know, we're moving at a pretty good clip here with, you know, the way that, hockey has been, you know, transcended a little bit. So it's okay to do that. I find, but I think the travel is, you know, they only have a 2-week window for these, you know, for these pro athletes, and especially the ones in the NHL. And I know, you know, over the past, 10 years, it's, you know, at some point it just gets to be a little tiresome.
Well, I'm going to guess next time the Olympics are held within 14 hours. That's the time change now, of course, over in South Korea. You know, I think Tony Granato, Brian, was interesting how they selected the team, and Sean Burke involved as well. But they went with guys who were playing professionally in the KHL, some guys in the American Hockey League, and a lot of guys that played in Europe, as opposed to, you know, guys that are playing college hockey, your Bowling Greens, your Michigan State, Boston College, North Dakota. So that was kind of the strategy here, more experienced, older guys.
Yeah, no, I see how they were trying to put this team together, you know, much like it didn't used to be, where it was just mostly all college guys. I think with the emergence and how good these leagues have become over in the KHL and all of the European leagues, you know, there's outlets for these guys that don't make the National Hockey League or the AHL or so what have you. So there are avenues for you know, young players with families to go over there and make a living and do what they love doing. So especially some very good hockey players. You even take Brian Gionta, you know, a veteran player. He might even have been an all-star in the National Hockey League, can kind of hang his hat and maybe, you know, call it one more year, or even maybe pick up on a team that's got a playoff push for the end of the year. So it's kind of a last hurrah, and I think it's fantastic for guys that might not have been able to, you know, kind of make the next level, where they have this platform to showcase themselves and you know, maybe in the kind of like the 80 team, where it kind of pushed a lot of those college guys. Kenny Morrow, Mike Ruzzioni, Dave Christian, all those guys went in the National Hockey League. Jim Craig. So maybe this is just another push for the U.S.
Well, how well did you know Jim Johansson, who we lost at 53? I'm still shaking my head on this. You make a great point. I think the great part out of a tragic situation like that, he said he was never at his happiest calling guys that are going to make the Olympic team, that probably never would have got that chance if the NHL was playing. So, you know, he went out on a note when it came to his office job and doing something, and everybody said he just thoroughly enjoyed picking up the phone and telling those guys.
Oh, most definitely. JJ was one of the best, an unreal ambassador for USA Hockey, for myself included. I've had the chance to work with him. I think his first gig might have been the 1990, you know, World Juniors, which was what I was a part of. So that's when I met JJ, and you know, he was fresh out of college. I think he was in the 88 team, which was in Calgary, and just an ambassador, you know, stepping into USA Hockey, being the pioneer of ADM, and really, you know, GMing all of these teams that you see, you know, whether it's, you know, World Juniors or the World Championships, or, you know, having a hand in everything, and all of these young, you know, prospective hockey players, and having a hand in their career. So an unreal guy, obviously will be sorely missed. And, you know, it was, you know, I think his memorial was during the All-Star game. So, you know, a lot of people really made the trek. I think it was, well received, and they had a good crowd there.
I shook my head. I didn't know him, but I heard so many good things about him. And in my career, very, very sad. Hey, did you get a chance to see any of the game, Brian?
Are you talking about the Olympic game or
yeah,
the All-Star game?
The Olympic game.
I actually watched the last period, you know, the last part of the second and the third period.
Yeah, same thing. What did you think of the pace?
I thought it was fantastic. I think it's a high level, and you know, anytime you can get in that big rink, it's you know, those guys are, both those teams are very, very fast. And I think that's what U.S. went to. They went with big, strong, fast guys. And I think that's kind of what, Slovenia and a lot of the other teams are doing as well. So, I thought it was a very well played hockey game. A couple breakdowns, maybe just a little bit, inexperienced in the U.S. part. But other than that, you know, hey, let's see what happens next game.
Speaking of which, you led to my next question here. You've been in the room in international play in the World Cups. You mentioned the World Junior there and World Championships, short tournaments, not like, you know, losing a game in the NHL when you're in game 21 of an 82-game schedule. Now all of a sudden you got to pull up the bootstraps in almost a must-win situation. What do you think Tony Granato and Ralston and that whole staff and Chelios will be telling the troops between games here of how to go about their work? Because, I mean, there's no secret to this, but take us inside the room a little bit.
I think it's just probably keep them loose. You know, I think the message is all the same. You know, enjoy the moment. Are they supposed to win? Are they not supposed to win? I think that's kind of the coin flip here. You have such unreal hockey players, and guys have gone through their trials and tribs as their careers go on. There's nothing these guys haven't seen before, you know, and especially, when you're back against the wall a little bit, kind of a must win. Just say shore up a few things and in any case, in any championship and in any team that has their back against the wall, it's always defense. It always comes down to just playing solid defense. If everyone knows their routes and everybody knows, and for all those young players and young families, if your son or daughter can't play their position defensively, they're going to struggle moving forward. So it doesn't matter what level it is, the top, the NHL, when it filters all the way down to, relatively to Bantams, Peewees, and everything. And if you can get those good coaches out there who know how to teach defense, defense creates offense, and you see it time in and time out. That's what wins championships.
Well, you know what? You know a little bit about that. A lot of teams in the National Hockey League in your career needed somebody who knew how to check, and your phone rang more than once. I know that for sure, Brian Smolinski. Biggest story in the NHL this year, Las Vegas Golden Knights, you think?
Well, obviously, I think it's the biggest story, yes. I think Tampa Bay, I think, is a big story. A lot of big stories probably on the downturn. Montreal, not doing so well. Chicago not doing so well. So, yeah, I think there's some big stories out there. It's just a matter of perspective.
Hey, before I let you go, of course, we're right in the heart of Red Wing country here. You live in the area as well, and the trade deadline coming up. Any inkling to your thoughts on what Ken Holland's going to do?
I try and say it every year. I wish they'd go big and strong a little bit more, maybe a little bit more power game, but I think Kenny's a little bit hampered by some contracts and in the way they're trying to get rid of it. I see Green maybe getting moved, and, they keep saying he's going back to Washington. It's obviously what they can get for it. They can get a draft pick or obviously it's more about picks, but they can free up some money. Maybe get some signs this year, because that LCA is absolutely beautiful. That should attract, some nice free agents, hopefully, and their farm system is kind of flying. So they got great young players. It's just a matter of time for Detroit.
Hey, Brian, before I let you go, you enjoying your work with the NHL and their Learn to Play program?
Oh, it's fantastic. Every team is the same but different. Different markets around the world, around the league, non-traditional and big traditional here in Detroit. So, our jobs are ever evolving. We're starting to get, put into the schools. They got a lot of ball hockey things going on, a lot of STEM work, which is a lot of, geometry and stuff for the kids. So it's, jobs evolving daily. So that's probably the most fun. I'm learning every day.
Hey, something came up here. You just reminded me when you mentioned school here a little bit. I saw the Michigan State on TV under Danton Cole. And listen, I know all you alumni of Michigan State, especially a guy that came out of Michigan State in the first round. Do you see any progress there?
I do. I see tremendous progress. They've kind of righted the ship a little bit. I know you might not be seeing it in the wins and losses, but they only have three seniors and three juniors. So everybody that you see on the ice is probably a sophomore. And I think seven freshmen are playing hockey. So they have righted the ship. They look like they're going in a great direction. I love the way that they play. I love the puck possession. Who knew that the Big Ten this year was going to be this strong? I mean, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan for that matter, Wisconsin. Notre Dame, I mean, they're the number one team in the country. Who knew that all these teams are going to be so good? So that just makes it that much harder for them to progress. But if you're going to get better, you got to play the best in the nation. So, and that's what they're doing.
Good stuff. Hey, Brian, we've been doing Face-Off for 18 years. You've been a big part of it. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate your insight. All the best to you. And somewhere down the road, I'll call on you again.
Oh, I love coming on. Thanks, Mike. Have a great night.
That's Brian Smolinski, Toledo, and by far, I won't say by far, but without a doubt, the best player ever to come out of this area, no doubt about it. Eight NHL teams and some world championships, some World Cup. Born in Toledo and used to go to the old Toledo Gold Digger games and was a great athlete. Chose hockey, went up to Michigan State. And this was back before there were a lot of Americans playing in the NHL. Bit of a groundbreaker, Brian Smolinski, World Championships, World Cups, eight NHL teams, great career, and always been a part of this show. Appreciate him coming on. All right, everybody, this is Face Off, the Hockey Show. Learn to Play program going on right down and below us, as always. Thanks to the hospitality, everybody here at Sylvania Tam and Shanter. Back with more after this timeout.